The readings for this Sunday, Laetare Sunday, the epistle is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Galatians. Brethren, it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a slave girl and the other by a free woman. And the son of the slave girl was born according to the flesh, but the son of the free woman in virtue of the promise. This is said by way of allegory. For there are two covenants, one indeed from Mount Sinai, bringing forth children unto bondage, which is Agar. For Sinai is a mountain in Arabia, which corresponds to the present Jerusalem, and is in slavery with her children. But that Jerusalem which is above is free, which is our mother. For it is written, Rejoice, thou barren, that dost not bear. Break forth and cry, thou that dost not travail. For many are the children of the desolate, more than of her that has a husband. Now we, brethren, are the children of promise, as Isaac was. But as then he who was born according to the flesh persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit, so also is it now. But what does the Scripture say? Cast out the slave girl and her son, for the son of the slave girl shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. Therefore, brethren, we are not children of a slave girl, but of the free woman, in virtue of the freedom wherewith Christ has made us free. Please stand for today's gospel, which is taken from that of St. John. At that time, Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, which is that of Tiberias. And there followed him a great crowd, because they witnessed the signs he worked on those who were sick. Jesus therefore went up the mountain and sat there with his disciples. Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was near. When therefore Jesus had lifted up his eyes and seen that a very great crowd had come to him, he said to Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? But he said this to try him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not enough for them, that each one may receive a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter, said to him, There is a young boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes. What are these among so many? Jesus then said, Make the people recline. Now there was much grass in the place. The men therefore reclined in number about 5,000. Jesus then took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, distributed them to those reclining, and likewise the fishes, as much as they would. But when they were filled, he said to his disciples, Gather the fragments that are left over, lest they be wasted. They therefore gathered them up, and they filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. When the people therefore had seen the sign which Jesus had worked, they said, This indeed is the prophet who is to come into the world. So when Jesus perceived that they would come to take him by force and make him king, he fled again to the mountain, himself alone. Thus are the words of today's gospel. Please be seated. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that which endureth unto life everlasting. In the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. There was a young Chinese priest whose name was Father Matthew Su. And this priest was arrested by the communists in China because of his zealous missionary work. In the communist prison camp, he suffered much, and yet he didn't falter in his zeal, still speaking about God and religion to the prisoners. The communists, because they wanted him to stop, they deprived him of food. But he wasn't bothered by it. He said, You can keep your food. I'm going to continue speaking about God. And about after 6 days of fasting, they called him back. And they told him, We'll give you food. And he answered, If I take your food, you won't let me speak about God. I'm content with the food from heaven. So later that same day, he fell into his last agony, and in the evening he passed away, saying the Apostles' Creed. Father Matthew Sue, he realized that there is a greater food than this food of earth, the food of heaven, the bread of heaven. In today's gospel, our Lord, he provides earthly bread for the Israelites in this stupendous miracle that we've just read. Once it was determined that there was no food to be had, he sent his apostles out for that purpose, to show there's no natural means of feeding this great multitude. He worked a miracle. And what a miracle it was. He fed them in abundance. 5,000 men, that was not including women and children. And there was so much left over that they filled these 12 hampers with the fragments of what was left over. But because it was such a stupendous miracle, and they were looking for the Messiah King that would deliver them from their enemies, our Lord realized that the Israelites would make him king. And so he fled into the mountain. We've read all of this just now in the gospel, but the events that follow are interesting. Because our Lord, he sent his apostles back across the Sea of Galilee. He went into the mountain. The multitude stayed there. They wouldn't be dispersed. But our Lord, he passed by them without them perceiving it in the middle of the night. And he walked across the Sea of Galilee to the ship where the apostles were struggling against the wind to make it to the other side. This is that great event when St. Peter goes out to meet him. This follows immediately on the multiplication of loaves. And when our Lord enters the boat, instantaneously they're at the shore. Our Lord, the next day, he is sitting in a synagogue in Capernaum, and the multitude, they labored to find him. Where is he? And so they all took shipping and went across the Sea of Galilee, and they found him there in the synagogue in Capernaum. And when they came, our Lord, he had to correct them. He had to correct them because they had a too human view of him. He took that outlook and he wanted to elevate it. He said that they sought him not because they saw miracles. They sought him because their bellies were filled. That's why they were looking for him. And so he instructed them, labor not for the meat which perishes, but for that which endures unto life everlasting. And then he goes on to give them that beautiful discourse we find in John chapter 6, about the Holy Eucharist, the bread of life, which is his flesh, which he would give for the world, telling them his flesh is meat indeed, his blood is drink indeed, and that we have to eat this flesh and drink this blood, otherwise we won't have life in us. He wants them to labor for that meat, not for the meat of their bellies. We have to pause for a moment on this warning of our Lord. Do we care more for bodily food than we do for the Holy Eucharist? In this time of Lent, we think a lot about bodily food because we're depriving ourselves of it. How much time do we plan and prepare our food, our next meal? How much do we long for it and expect it and plan? And does that compare to how much we long for the Holy Eucharist? How much we think about when's the next time I can have our Lord in Holy Communion. And I think if we're honest, we have to say that the labor for the food of this earth, it often outdoes the labor that we put into receiving this bread of heaven. We forget that not on bread alone does man live, that there's a higher food that we have to seek. Yes, and we can tell that that's the case because of the fruits. If we look at the fruits of our Holy Communions, we see that often there's something lacking. St. Thomas Aquinas, he says that when we receive communion, we should grow in our spiritual life exponentially. Because when we receive our Lord, our charity increases if we receive him with good dispositions. And with that growth in charity, the next communion we receive, we're able to receive more devoutly, and we get more grace from it. And each time it increases exponentially. What fruit do we receive from our Holy Communions, if we're honest with ourselves? Is our spiritual life growing exponentially? And if we are receiving very little fruit, then we have to ask, what's the cause? Is it because our Lord's failing on his part? He's not doing his end of the job? Well, that's certainly not the case. So the problem is on our end. We have to change something we're doing. And what we need to do is to have better dispositions when we go to communion. That's the labor we have to put into it. And to see this, we can simply take an old catechism example, one you've probably heard before. The example is of two children who go to a river. Each of them takes a bucket with them, but one of them takes a very large bucket. The other takes a very small one. They go to the river and they both scoop out water from the river. Both of their buckets are filled to the brim. But because one has a larger bucket than the other, that one receives more. The one with a smaller bucket receives less. But they're both filled. And it's this that happens at communion. When we go with poor dispositions, it's like going with a little bucket. We will get grace, but we won't get very much grace. As much as we could, as we would if we went with a large bucket. So that's the labor we need to put into our Holy Communions. We need to be striving to have the best dispositions as we can to receive our Lord. And the Catechism teaches us what those dispositions need to be. And I would like to focus on faith, hope, and charity. The Catechism tells us that those are the three acts that we should be exercising, exciting, when we go to Holy Communion, when we approach the communion rail. We should be making acts of faith, hope, and charity. So let's just pause for a moment on these. First, faith. Holy Communion, the Holy Eucharist, it's the mystery of faith. With our eyes, we see bread. But with the eyes of faith, we see that this is truly our Lord, body, blood, soul, and divinity. Now, my dear faithful, our faith has to be lively. It can't just be cold faith that says, yes, I believe that. It has to be very lively. Like St. John said when he saw our Lord on the seashore, it is the Lord. When we come to the communion rail and we see the priest holding the host, we have to say, it is the Lord. That same sacred humanity that drew people like a magnet, these huge multitudes that would not be dispersed, it's that same sacred humanity that we receive in Holy Communion. That same divinity that showed itself by these stupendous miracles, it is that divinity we receive in Holy Communion. There are so many Eucharistic miracles that confirm our faith in the Holy Eucharist. But a soul of faith doesn't need those miracles because it believes. It's enough that our Lord has said, this is my body. My flesh is meat indeed. That's enough. And if it ever seems hard to believe that our Lord is really there in the host, the soul says with St. Peter, you have the words of life. I believe. So that faith that will lead us to hope, these acts of trustful confidence in our Lord. The Holy Eucharist is the source of hope because it is the bread of life. Our Lord gives himself to us under the appearances of bread for a reason. He wants to be our nourishment. As food gives us life, the Holy Eucharist gives us spiritual life. And the life that it gives is our Lord's own life. What a beautiful thing. He said, as the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eats me, the same shall live by me. He receives life from his Father. We receive him in communion, and he communicates that divine life to us. So that when we receive communion, we can say with all truth, I am a God-bearer. That phrase of the saints, I am a God-bearer. St. John Vianney, he reflects on this, and he says that when you're going home after communion, you've just received our Lord. If someone were to ask you, what are you carrying away to your home? What do you have with you? You could say, I am carrying away heaven. I have heaven in my soul right now. And it's for this reason that communion gives us the purest happiness that this world can offer. And St. John Vianney says it's what makes this life bearable, Holy Communion. It's by this that we receive the graces we need to get to heaven. It is itself the pledge of heaven. Our Lord says, "He that eats my flesh and drinks my blood will have everlasting life, and I will raise him up in the last day." And on this, St. John Vianney, speaking about how we receive Holy Communion, he says that in heaven we're going to shine like diamonds because we'll see God shining in the soul because we received him in Holy Communion in this life. So that is the hope that we have when we receive communion. And then finally, the charity that we need to have. This is the sacrament of God's love. St. John Vianney tells us that if we considered it properly, we would be carried away into an abyss of love for all eternity if we really understood the charity that God has in the sacrament. Charity moves someone to give of themselves, to give something to the one they love. And God, in his charity, he wanted to give us the best that he could, and so he gave himself. He gave himself as our food. St. John Vianney, he reflects on this, and he says that, you know, we hear our Lord say, "Ask the Father anything in my name, and I will give it, and he will give it to you." Who would have dared to even imagine this, to even have asked this? "God, give me your flesh to eat and your blood to drink." We would not have dared. But St. John Vianney says, what man cannot express nor conceive, and what he never would have dared to desire, God in his love has said, has conceived, and has executed. And what it cost him, what it cost him to give himself to us in this way. It meant he had to die on the cross. It meant that he had to remain, as St. Therese says so affectionately, he had to remain the prisoner of our tabernacles, to receive there the coldness of men, disrespect, sacrilege. But he knew that that would happen, and yet he still chose to be there so he could come into my soul, so he could be united to me. This is the sacrament of love, of charity. And seeing such an abyss of charity, it provokes our love in return. So my dear faithful, hopefully these considerations, faith, hope, and charity, help us to see the labor that we have to put into receiving the bread of life. We are obliged during the Easter season to receive Holy Communion. Holy Mother Church gives us this precept, though, not so that we can just fulfill it in a legalistic way, just to go through the motions, maybe just go to confession quickly so I can receive communion in the state of grace and call it good and check the box for the year. Of course not. Holy Mother Church wants us to make a fruitful communion during Easter time. Well, in Lent, we're preparing for Easter in many ways, but this has to be one of them. We have to prepare for our Easter communion in a special way. So as we deprive ourselves during Lent of bodily food, this food which perishes, let's really strive to put in the labor that we need to receive well this food of heaven. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.